I got in trouble one time. I called the opening text the springboard to move on to the other text and the other preaching. And that was a new terminology. Where I was at, they never heard anything like that. Us Oklahomans are really weird. Praise God. But once I got done, they kind of liked it, and they said, "Oh, now I see. You jump high when you do it, don't you?" Hallelujah. The springboard is to get some lift. Hallelujah. And head for the direction of the message that God wants to share. And so Romans 6, 10, and 11, "For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Hallelujah. You can be seated again tonight. I just want to share. Title of the message tonight is Alive for Him. Alive for Him. Hallelujah. And it, once again, it's going along with that post-resurrection life, alive for Him. So, in this portion of Scripture here tonight, looking at verse number 11 especially, it says, "Likewise." So in other words, you look at what Jesus has done. You look at the death, the burial, the resurrection. You look at what Jesus has done. "Now, likewise, do the same." Reckon, you know, that's not a word. I'd get in trouble at one point in time while I was preaching. And if I said I reckon, my grammar wouldn't quite be right. But this word reckon, it means to judge, to think, to expect, or to count, to calculate. I like that word. Calculate yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. In other words, make a rational decision of how you're going to live your life for this King we've been talking about. Hallelujah. And so Jesus, you look at what He did, and then you do it too. Hallelujah. And as I go through this, you're going to see kind of what I'm talking about, because Jesus Christ has set the mode. He has shown the way to victorious Christian living. He has shown the way to where we can be alive for Him. He has shown how it is done. And when we follow the pattern of Jesus Christ, it'll happen in our lives too. Woo, I love what we sung this morning. He's alive. He's alive. Well, let's turn around and say, "I'm alive. I'm alive." Hallelujah. Because He's alive. I'm alive. If He's alive, I'm alive. Hallelujah. Are you getting the picture here tonight about alive for Him? Hallelujah. It's not a matter of, I'm a Christian. I love Jesus. What's it done for your life? Well, you know, I think I'm happy now. Yeah, you know, sometimes it's hard. Oh, it's so hard. Woo! He's alive! Hallelujah! I'm alive! There's no hardness to it at all. I have to endure hardness as a good soldier. But it's not hard to live for Jesus. Hallelujah! He's alive for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo, glory to the King. That's just a couple of verses. Oh, my. I've got four pages of this. Thank you, Jesus. Isaiah 53 and 12. "Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Oh, hallelujah. Jesus Christ, hallelujah, was victorious. Lucas already mentioned it. Hallelujah. It is finished. Glory to God. I was sitting back there thinking about that. Devil, you're finished. Woo, glory to God. The King, yes, he died. He died on the old rugged cross, a very shameful death, a very tormenting death. But he's alive again. Hallelujah. And he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Hallelujah. And a portion, he's going to be divided a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil. with those who are barely making it by. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm trying to get you to understand you can be alive in Him. You can be strong in Him. You can have power in Him. Hallelujah. If you are depending on what you have personally, physically, you're not going to feel very strong. But if you realize who you are in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, you are among the strong. Hallelujah. You are among the ones that are going to be divided the spoil. Hallelujah. Now, I just got to share something with you. I was thinking about it. It's not in my notes, but I was thinking about it earlier when we were talking about going to heaven and being excited about going to heaven. Do you realize that our real work is not going to begin until we get to heaven? Hallelujah. We're not leaving work behind. We're just being glorified where we can even work greater works for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because whether we remember it or not or realize it or not, when Jesus Christ comes back physically to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, you and I, as the army of the Lord, the born-again believers, hallelujah, those full of the Holy Ghost of God and serving Him down here are going to be sitting on thrones with Him when His kingdom is set up. Woo! That's why we're this strong. Hallelujah. And it's going to depend on what you're doing here, what you're doing right now, how you're serving Him, how you're honoring Him, how you're alive for Him. Hallelujah. Of what you're going to be doing then. Hallelujah. Are you wanting to be a commander in the army? Come on. What do you want to be when you get to heaven? You're not going to be an angel. That don't work that way. Hallelujah. You're not going to flutter around with wings. It don't work that way. No. What are you going to be in heaven? Are you going to be part of the army of heaven? Are you going to be part of the commanders of heaven? Are you going to be the stable boy in heaven? What are you going to be? Because it all depends on what you do right here, right now, with what He's given you. Oh, we're getting a head start on investment. Oh, hallelujah. Are you alive for Him right now? Let me put it like this. Do you live for Jesus? Or do you live for me? Because that depends on whether you're going or not, really. Because if you're living for me, you ain't going to make it. But if you're living for Jesus, then you need to give it all you've got. Woo, hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Oh, praise be to our God. You know, a lot of times we kind of sit back and we think about, you know, when I was younger, I had a whole lot more energy. I had a whole lot more strength and I could do a whole lot more. That's all right. That's what you were supposed to do when you was younger. But right now, all the Lord asks of you at whatever age you are is do all you can and give the best you have to Him. Hallelujah. Because you ain't going to be able to do what the 40-year-old did. Hallelujah. The 40-year-olds can't do what the teenagers do. Hallelujah. It's just part of life. Praise God. But do whatever you're doing with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your power, and let the Lord have full control of just wherever you're at. Ooh, that's all He wants. That's all He desires. Hallelujah, because we are going to be part of the strong. What that means is the overcomer. I mean, go to the book of Revelation. What do you find? Every promise in the book of Revelation is to those that are doing wrong. Oh, it's not? Well, that's how a lot of people read it, Brother Kennard. I don't read it that way either, and you don't read it that way either, and everybody else in here don't read it that way, I don't think. It says to the overcomer, hallelujah. That means the strong, glory to God. And how are we strong? Through Christ that strengtheneth me. Whoa, hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Hebrews 9:8. The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, which as the first tabernacle was yet standing. See, the Old Testament, the people of the Old Testament didn't have what you and I have. Yet, as you read through the scriptures, you find they did great exploits for God. Woo! How much more should you and I be alive, hallelujah, in the power of the Holy Ghost, because the way now has been made into the Holy of Holies, through the precious blood of Jesus Christ, to where you and I can go right in to the throne room of God, and there we can ask for strength. There we can ask for power. There we can ask for wisdom. There we can ask for righteousness. And as we're seeking all those things, well, he'll just add everything else to our life while we're here. That throne room access has not been granted unto us to ask for jet planes, Cadillacs, houses on hills, and a multi-million-dollar facility. That's not why the way was made. The way was made that I could be righteous now. I could be holy now. Hallelujah. I could fellowship with the Father now. I could be like the Son of God now. Hallelujah. The finished work. And all of this has been given unto you and I that we can be strong, alive for Him. Oh, hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Oh, it is finished. Hallelujah. When he said those words, God let the whole world know it was finished. It was done. And the way had been made, because the Bible's very explicit of how that veil in the temple was torn in half from the top to the bottom. That lets me know somebody saw it happen. Woo! Can you imagine being one of the priests standing in the temple? And they were talking about what was going on with this man named Jesus, and how he was being crucified over here on Golgotha. You know, that place where David threw the skull of Goliath? I don't know whether you ever heard that or not. That's how it got its name, Golgotha, is because after David slew Goliath, you realize he cut his head off. Well, that's the place that Goliath's head ended up being thrown. And here's Jesus Christ still killing giants. Woo! Hallelujah. That's a whole nother message. Praise God. But you see, somebody was standing there in that temple. Hallelujah. And, you got to realize what happened. If the Ark of the Covenant was in there, and the moment that veil rent from the top to the bottom, here's what I personally believe probably happened. I personally believe they heard it. Might even been a sound of a rushing wind. Don't know for sure, just my mere imagination. And all of a sudden, I standing out in my backyard one day and I heard this. Pop! Pow! And a big elm limb about a foot and a half around fell out of my backyard tree. I was just standing there enjoying the beauty of my backyard, and all of a sudden I hear something. I believe they were enjoying the beauty of this temple. All of a sudden they're hearing something going. And I believe it just went. And there sat the Ark of the Covenant that they weren't supposed to be able to see and live. Oh, but they're still alive. Oh, they're still alive. Something's happened here. I think them folks, whoever was in that temple, became believers that day. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that soldier standing beside Jesus became a believer that day. Truly, this was the Son of God. Oh, hallelujah. And so we see that way into the holiest was made by the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and 24. Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, that's us, being dead to sins, should live under righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Oh, hallelujah. So we see then the finished work is what brings us into that position and that place where the old man can be put dead and the new man can live, hallelujah, post-resurrection life. Hebrews 7, 24 and 25. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Jesus Christ is for you. He's not against you. He's interceding on your behalf. He's interceding on my behalf. He wants us to be strong. He wants us to be overcomers. He wants us to be alive on the inside for him. He doesn't want us always filled with doubt. He doesn't want us filled with fear. He doesn't want us filled with unbelief. He wants us filled with life, hallelujah, that comes down from above, and it comes from him, hallelujah, praise God, to the utmost. Wow, man, sometimes it's very, very good and refreshing to know that Jesus wants me to overcome sometimes more than I want to. Sometimes I get tired of the battle. Sometimes I get weary of the storm. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. And then sometimes the devil's just whispering in your ear. You're just no match for this storm. Oh, my. But ever since I saw that little saying, oh, my. Oh, devil, you shouldn't have said that. Because now it made me realize who I am. And I am the storm. Woo, hallelujah. I am the one that has the power and the authority in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the one that has access into the throne room of the Holy God of heaven. I am the one that can be endued with power from on high. You done went and said the wrong thing, devil, hallelujah, because it stirred the spirit that is within me, and it made me realize who I really am, hallelujah. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of the King. I'm part of the bride. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and I am the storm. I'm the one that's going to fight you. Woo. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Every time, hey, listen to me here. Every time temptation comes bombarding your mind, you think of that saying, I am the storm. Woo, hallelujah. I am the storm. I have access to the throne room of God. I am a child of... Woo. Put yourself where you really belong. Sometimes even if you don't feel like it, you've got to say it by faith because it's what God says. That's what faith's all about. Believing what God says. You're mine. Woo! I don't know what that does for you, but that does great things for me. Hallelujah. You're mine. I bought you. Woo! I died for you. You are mine. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. And he cherishes me. He cherishes you. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Just like you were the only child. You don't spoil you. Don't misunderstand me. But it seems like he just does more for me than he does for anybody. That's just how I perceive it. And that's how I look at it. Because I can't thank him enough for everything he's done. Hallelujah, because I know it's by the grace of God. I still have my wife today. Oh, you just, I mean, it was unreal. I'm talking, this guy drove by mirror to mirror. It wasn't like he drove by 3 foot away. He drove by mirror. I'm talking 6 inches. I mean, if it had been any closer, the mirrors would have went click. My mirrors are only 6 inches long. The car he was driving, the little pickup he was driving, his mirrors may have been 8 inches long. So we were 15 inches apart. And had she swung that door open and stepped out, he would have hit her. Oh, wow. That's my God. that's my God. Hallelujah. That's her God, but it's, hey, that's my God. Hallelujah. That's why I know I can be strong. That's why I know I can overcome. I can be more than a conqueror. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Hallelujah. This is why we realize and we understand we are not going through the tribulation. We're going to be saved from the wrath that's going to come down on this old world. That last 7 years, it's coming down on God's children Israel. We forget that sometimes. They still got 7 years of judgment to face for the rejection of Jesus Christ. They've been dispersed all through the world. Part of that judgment from that day that the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. They were dispersed through all the world. They were a byword. But little by little, in these last days, God has brought them all back. He's still bringing them back to that little portion of land over there in the Middle East. And it's called Israel. They became a state in 1948. And they've been recognized begrudgingly. Actually, there's still some people that don't recognize him as a state. Because all the world is rapidly becoming against Israel. I remember, I don't know whether you caught it this morning or not, when I told you there are no signs for the rapture of the church. No man knows the day. No man knows the hour. The Son didn't even know. The angels of heaven didn't know. The Father alone knows the catching away of the bride. There are no signs for the rapture. But there are all kinds of signs for the tribulation and the wrath and the judgment of God in those last 7 years. There's all kinds of signs for the rising one world government. The rising one world leader. There's all kinds of signs. And one of the prophecy videos in this last prophecy session that they did, the speaker was bringing out, you know, we've always wondered who's going to be the 10 toes. Well, now the UN or some organization has divided the earth into 10 sections. Imagine that. Just like the word said. See, those are signs for the last days. Those are signs for the Antichrist kingdom. Those are the signs for the one world government. Those are the signs of the fulfillment of these prophecies of what's going to happen in this time of tribulation. And because all those are coming to pass, we know it's soon. Soon. He is going to rapture us out of here. Hallelujah. Praise God. We're going to be saved from wrath. Glory to our God. That's why I want to be alive for him. Because I want to help as many people as I can escape that wrath. Hallelujah. And the only way I'm going to be able to help anybody is, number one, I've got to be alive for Jesus. Hallelujah. I've got to have his life living in me. Praise God. I've got to have that connection with my Savior, that connection with my Captain, that connection with my God. Hallelujah. And that connection is the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah. And learning to walk therein and being led by the Spirit of God. You may think I'm being totally off the wall, but 24/7. 24/7. And if there was 8 days in the week, it'd be 24/8. Hallelujah. I can't miss a day of not letting the Holy Ghost have access to my mind, to my life. Because if I miss a day and he doesn't have access, I may miss something that needs to be done for the King. Are you getting the seriousness of the hour? I don't want to miss something that needs to be done for the King. Because it's the King, you realize. It's the King. Or do you realize that? Oh, hallelujah. 1 Peter 4, 1 and 2. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, catch this, arm. What's that mean? Arm. That's an arm. The arm. That's not what it means there. That is one definition of arm. No. Oh, this guy over here is reaching for an arm. Arm yourselves. In other words, you know, we got some that are part of the security team. They have armed themselves. They have armed themselves for protection and even to protect others that may be in danger. They have armed themselves. So in other words, this is a warfare term or a military term. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Oh my, Jesus showed us the way. Remember I told you earlier, Jesus showed us the way. He willingly laid down his life that men could live. Likewise with the same mind, for he that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his suffering. That is not talking about being beat, being whipped, or being nailed to the cross. The fellowship of his suffering is crucifying the flesh so that sin does not rule and reign in my life. That's what the cross represents to the child of God. Death to self. Hallelujah. And so that's what this scripture, to arm myself with the same mind, is to be willing to lay down my life. And when I'm doing that, that means I'm ceasing from sin, because it's not about me anymore. It's all about him now. Hallelujah. And he's righteous, he's holy, he's pure, and it's all about him. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but alive for him to the will of God. Hallelujah. That's what I'm living for. To do the will of God in my personal life 24/7. Hallelujah. Not on Sundays and Thursdays. I'm glad I don't have false teeth or they would have been flying right there. Hallelujah. Whoa, my. Whoa, look out. You're in spitting distance now. I'm feeling better, so don't worry. Hallelujah. He that has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Hallelujah. That we might be alive now, and that we might fulfill the will of God in our lives on a daily basis, every day, day in, day out, living for Jesus. Hallelujah. Alive for him. You see, you got to understand. I don't. Get your mind off of the glamour, the glory, and being in some high position or singing some great song. Get your mind off all that. You may not be able to carry a tune in a bucket, but that doesn't mean you're not strong and full of life and full of power. Because it's not about singing a song. It's not about preaching a message. It's about doing the will of God in my life. Hallelujah. If he wants you to preach, then when you do the will of God in your life, you'll preach. See, if I wasn't ready to do the will of God in my life in small things, I'd not be standing where I'm standing tonight. Because he that is faithful in small things and few things will be faithful in great things. You never start out great. And really, in my book, you never obtain greatness. You just do the will of God and consider yourself an unprofitable servant. You see, what it amounts to, a lot of times we get to esteeming ourselves greater than we ought to. Did you know that self-pity is actually a form of pride? Because basically what you're doing is you're looking at everybody else and say, well, I'm just a nobody. I can't do anything. Hogwash. You can do great things through the King if you'll just let him. Hallelujah. It's not a matter of what you can do. Get it in your heart. Get it in your mind. It's not a matter of what you can do. It's a matter of what he can do. he can do if you'll just follow. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You'll never be a leader if you never learn how to follow. The very first time I heard that little saying, it says, look, there they go. I must follow, for I am the leader. Hallelujah. Glory. Sometimes you'll find the leaders just following behind, picking up the mess. Shouldn't you be out front? Well, no. Nobody pick up the mess if you're out front. Hallelujah. You're being out front when you're putting yourself behind. Glory. Oh, my. Just reading the account of the Last Supper before church tonight, and it's not in my notes. Well, we'll talk about it anyway. Praise God. And Jesus said, you know, the ones of this world, Lord, over all their subjects. But he said, it's not that way in my kingdom. For I am your Lord, and I have come to you as a servant. Remember, he washed their feet. Yeah, he showed them, this is greatness right here. Ready to wash everybody's feet, pick up the mess, turn out the lights, check the air. Just being a servant, clean the bathrooms. I mean, you know, greatness is found in the men's bathroom. Woo! Cleaning the bathroom. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Oh, yes. Why? Because it's that servant's heart. That servant's heart is the greatness. Ready to serve wherever you're at. Anytime. Whether you're at home. Oh, hang on. You know, husbands, sometimes you could wash a dish. Yeah. I mean, really wash it, you know, not rinse it and put it in the rack. Wash the thing. You know, soap, water, rag. I'm notorious. I think Jason preached on it. Somebody talked about it. I dirty just as few dishes as I can if I'm in charge of cleaning the dishes. I do. I mean, I can use the microwave. I ain't going to use a pan on the stove. That's another dish. I'll cook it in the one that is in the microwave. And when I'm done, I put a little soap in that dish. I wash that dish. I wash my cup. I wash my spoon. And the dishes are done. Woo! Wisdom! Don't dirty 15 things eating a snack. Woo! Help me, Jesus. How'd I get out there? Praise God, a servant's heart. Servant's heart. Help the wife out. You know, sometimes our wives work harder than we do. So help them out. Be a servant of the Lord. Woo! Man, nobody's shouting about all this good preaching. I'm sure Sister Pepper is. She said, maybe I'm going to do better now. Hallelujah. Psalms 40, verse number 7. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. Verse number 8. Chapter 40 of Psalm. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart, alive for him. Hallelujah. I delight in doing thy will, O Lord. Hallelujah. I don't gripe. I don't complain. I don't murmur. I don't grumble. Oh my, when somebody has left all the work to me. Because if they left the work to you, then it's yours to do. And do it with joy. Woo! Hallelujah to the Lamb. Praise God. Just go ahead and start singing and praising God and get the work done. It goes faster that way. Hallelujah. The longer you gripe, murmur, complain, grumble, it takes forever to get it done. Hey, just go ahead and let that joy unspeakable and full of glory kick into that life that's on the inside. Grab a hold of that broom, that dustpan, and let's sweep for Jesus. Hallelujah. Woo, let's have a little fun while it's cleanup time at the church. Woo, glory to God. My, I guess the pastor's the only one that's having fun. Everybody else does all the work, and the pastor does nothing. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Hallelujah. Once again, we swung back around here. I'm among the strong. I belong to God. Hallelujah. He deemed me worthy to die upon the old rugged cross. Hallelujah. He died for me. He died for you. Hallelujah. That means you mean something to him. Hallelujah. It wasn't just a cookie cutter program. It wasn't a mass production program. He died for every individual on a personal level. Hallelujah. And he wants a relationship with every individual on a personal level. And so if you have a problem with relationships, this is where you need to really, really bear down on building your relationship with Jesus Christ. You see, a lot of times our past hasn't been a good territory or training ground for building relationships. And because of that, we start having difficulties with our relationships with God. Because a lot of times we won't open up to a relationship with God because we've been hurt so many times before if we opened up our heart to someone. Or somewhere along the way we have been taught or trained that emotions are wrong and you're never supposed to cry. Well, shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. There was no greater man on the face of the earth than he cried. Tears are a language heaven knows. You see, a lot of times we've been indoctrinated the wrong way through our upbringing sometimes. And we've got to renew our minds according to the Word of God. We've got to be renewed in knowledge. Remember, we shared that scripture this morning in Colossians chapter 3. Amen. Where we've been born again and a new creature's been created, which is renewed in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So that's how we got to change the way we think. Yeah. We've got to get the same thinking that God has about us. Woo! And he loves us. We belong to him. And he wants to be our helper. And he wants to build a relationship with us to where there is nothing withheld. All doors are open. Not trying to hide anything or hold anything back. Are open. So I can be alive for him. If I'm trying to hold back on God, that's not a relationship. If I'm just wanting God to do everything for me, that's not a relationship. It's our part, God's part. We talked about that. Hallelujah. To be alive for him is to take him at his word and begin to allow his word to become my way of life. The way I live, the way I talk, the way I think. Hallelujah. I had a lot of things that had to be changed in this mind of mine when I came to Jesus Christ. But I had a great advantage, just like everybody else does. I had a new creature created inside of me. I had the Word of God available unto me. I had a preacher that preached truth to me. And I got filled with the Holy Ghost of God, and then it really launched from there. But it was still a growing process, learning. You got to learn how to be led by the Holy Ghost of God. It's not just an automatic, you get filled with the Holy Ghost and you got it all understood and got it all under control. No, that's you got to learn how to be led by the Spirit of God and learn when the Holy Ghost is talking to you and when it's just you. Sometimes in our zeal, it's just us. But you got to discern. You got to try the spirits. That's what the Bible says. Hallelujah. But you will get it if you keep seeking, keep asking. Oh, keep walking. Don't give up. By no means do not give up. Learn. Learn. Learning experience. I wish Isaac was here. His eyes would light up. Those learning experiences. It's when you make that little mistake that you realize, oh, I shouldn't have done it that way. Oh, yeah, well, we learn from that. Next time, don't do it that way. Praise God. Learn to be led by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close. If our piano player would make their way back to the piano tonight. Closing here. We'll have a little time of prayer. And then we'll have our communion service tonight. I want to read something. A.W. Tozer had written. It's called The Incredible Christian. Says the current effort of so many religious leaders to harmonize Christianity with science, philosophy, every natural and reasonable thing is, I believe, the result of failure to understand Christianity. And judging from what I have heard and read, failure to understand science and philosophy as well. At the heart of the Christian system lies the cross of Christ with its divine paradox. The power of Christianity appears in its antipathy toward, never in its agreement with, the ways of fallen men. The truth of the cross is revealed in its contradictions. The witness of the church is most effective when she declares rather than explains, for the gospel is addressed not to reason, but to faith. What can be proved requires no faith to accept. Faith rest upon the character of God, not upon the demonstrations of laboratory or logic. The cross stands in bold opposition to the natural man. Its philosophy runs contrary to the processes of the unregenerate mind, so that Paul could say bluntly that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To try to find a common ground between the message of the cross and man's fallen reason is to try the impossible. And if persisted in, must result in an impaired reason and a meaningless cross and a powerless Christianity. But let us bring the whole matter down from the uplands of theory and simply observe the true Christian as he puts into practice the teachings of Christ and his apostles. Note these contradictions. The Christian believes that in Christ he has died, yet he is more alive than before, and he fully expects to live forever. He walks on earth while seated in heaven, and though born on earth, he finds that after his conversion, he is not at home here. Like the night hawk, which in the air is the essence of grace and beauty, but on the ground is awkward and ugly. So the Christian appears at his best in the heavenly places, but does not fit well into the ways of the very society in which he was born. The Christian soon learns that if he would be victorious as a son of heaven among men on earth, he must not follow the common pattern of mankind, but rather the contrary. That he may be safe if he puts himself in jeopardy, he loses his life to save it, and is in danger of losing it if he attempts to preserve it. He goes down to get up. If he refuses to go down, he is already down. But when he starts down, he's on the way up. He is strongest when he is weakest, and weakest when he is strong. Though poor, he has the power to make others rich. But when he becomes rich, his ability to enrich others vanishes. He has most after he has given most away, and has least when he possesses most. He may be and often is highest when he feels the lowest, and most sinless when he is most conscious of his sin. He is wisest when he knows that he knows not, and knows least when he has acquired the greatest amount of knowledge. He sometimes does most by doing nothing, and goes further when standing still. In heaviness, he manages to rejoice and keeps his heart glad even in sorrow. The paradoxical character of the Christian is revealed constantly. For instance, he believes that he is saved now. Nevertheless, he expects to be saved later and looks forward joyfully to future salvation. He fears God but is not afraid of him. In God's presence, he feels overwhelmed and undone, yet there is nowhere he would rather be than in that presence. He knows that he has been cleansed from his sin, yet he is painfully conscious that in his flesh dwells no good thing. He loves supremely one whom he has never seen, and though himself poor and lowly, he talks familiarly with one who is a king of all kings and lord of all lords, and is aware of no incongruity in so doing. He feels that he is in his own right altogether less than nothing, yet he believes without question that he is the apple of God's eye, and that for him the eternal Son became flesh and died on the cross of shame. The Christian is a citizen of heaven, and to that sacred citizenship he acknowledges first allegiance. Yet he may love his earthly country with that intensity of devotion that caused John Knox to pray, "O God, give me Scotland or I die." He cheerfully expects before long to enter the bright world above, but he is in no hurry to leave this world and is quite willing to await the summons of his heavenly Father. And he is unable to understand why the critical unbelievers should condemn him for this. It all seems so natural and right in the circumstances that he sees nothing inconsistent about it. A cross-carrying Christian, furthermore, is both a confirmed pessimist and an optimist, the like of which is to be found nowhere else on earth. When he looks at the cross, he is a pessimist, for he knows that the same judgment that fell on the Lord of glory condemns in that one act all nature and all the world of men. He rejects every human hope out of Christ because he knows that man's noblest efforts is only dust building on dust. Yet he is calmly, restfully optimistic. If the cross condemns the world, the resurrection of Christ guarantees the ultimate triumph of good throughout the universe. Through Christ, all will be well at last, and the Christian waits the consummation. The incredible Christian. Wow. Alive for him. Hallelujah. When I'm weak, he is strong. When I am strong, that's when I'm weak. Hallelujah. Knowing where my life source comes from. Hallelujah. Living in this world, but longing for one to come. Hallelujah. And living in this world, knowing that I am here for his purpose, his plan, his will, his way. Hallelujah. And leading others into this incredible Christian life. As you and I are alive for Christ, we will win the lost without great effort. It will just be the way we live. It will just be the way we live. Because that's how Jesus lived. That's what he did. He went about everywhere doing good. Hallelujah. Helping those that he came across. Sharing the truths of the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. The joy of knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Oh, wow. The paradox. Knowing that I am not worthy to talk to a king, but yet I don't feel that it's wrong to talk to my king. Hallelujah, because he says, enter in. Woo. Because you believe. Hallelujah. Because you believe in what I have done and in what I am doing and what I will do in your life. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So much more to strive for. So much more to reach for. And we're not doing it trying to be greedy or of an ill motive. I just want to be like Him. I just want to be like Him. I want to follow my Lord. I want to follow my King. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. And it's not something that you will ever fully obtain while walking on the face of this earth. Hallelujah. But when that trumpet sounds and our body is changed, we will be like Jesus. And we will continue to serve Him under His kingship. It's not going to change. That part's not going to change. He's still going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we are still going to humble ourselves before Him. We're going to cast our crowns at His feet. Hallelujah. There will still be that honor, that praise, that glory. Oh, hallelujah. That servitude. Woo, to my King. Hallelujah. But it will be in its fullness, and we'll fully wrap our minds around it, fully understand it, because this, my friend, this, my brother, this, my sister, is where we fall so miserably short on the face of this earth, is we don't honor Him as a King. We do what we very well please and expect Him to bless it. Instead of honoring Him as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and I've been bought by Him and I belong to Him. Woo! My. That means I cannot do what I want to do. I cannot go where I want to go. I cannot think what I want to think. I must think as my King. I must go as my King. I must be as my King. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Glory. That, in a nutshell, is what it is to be among the strong. Hallelujah. For when I am weak, that's when I'm strong. When I suffer in my flesh, oh, that's when I'm strong. Because I have ceased from self-will. Oh, and I live to the will of the Father. Praise God. Stand with me tonight if you would. Alive for Him. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Jesus. Oh, Jesus, you've done so much. You have done so much. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Could we just lift our voices? Could we lift our hearts in thanksgiving? Oh, hallelujah, for the wonderful works of our King, of our Lord, of our Savior. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Lamb of God. I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. To give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God.
These altars are open. Let's come.
Rising,
let's close with a time here of prayer, preparing ourselves for the Lord's Supper tonight. Lord. Hallelujah.